Oh, hello. I almost didn't see you there. This is Ben Greenfield. And I'm sipping coffee this morning, so I may take a break as I'm introducing today's guest to you.
Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just 2 bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LeelaQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show,
there are solutions. There really are solutions. So we don't have to not avail ourselves to the value of the technology. We can still benefit from it and not be exposed to the dangerous EMFs. 95% of the people believe that EMF in their home is coming from the outside in. It's their damn neighbor's Wi-Fi, it's a cell phone tower. Well, turns out 95% of it is coming from inside their house.
You really, really preserve and conserve your lean muscle mass when you are fasting. You're not going to lose hardly anything. And you'll actually get more swole when you refeed.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey, folks, my guest on today's show, which promises to be yet another doozy, first appeared on the very popular episode called Killing Fat Cells, Fixing Mitochondria, Growing Superfoods, and More. And then he came back as a guest, which means he must not have sucked that much, on an equally popular episode, which is called High Fat Fudge Balls, The Best Fruits for Blood Sugar, Egg Allergies, and More, with the author of Fat for Fuel. Well, based on that, and by the way, Fat for Fuel was one of the most popular health books ever, that came out, several months ago. And I'll link to that in the show notes for you guys to read, along with the podcast that I just mentioned. But if you haven't yet guessed, my guest today is Dr. Joseph Mercola. And in addition to being a very outside-the-box, cutting-edge thought leader, a man after my own heart, and everything from freaking cancer to fat loss, he also happens to be really living in the trenches when it comes to protecting himself and figuring out how to, you can protect yourself against and mitigate the damages from non-native, harmful electromagnetic fields, or EMFs. And I know you've probably heard the blah, 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 don't hold your cell phone up to your ear, but this guy takes things to a whole new level and has spent some hardcore time in the trenches figuring out what works and what doesn't. Everything that we talk about on this show, you can find over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/EMF special. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/EMF special. So, Dr. Mercola, first of all, welcome back to the show. And second of all, is it true that you actually talk on your cell phone only with a selfie stick?
Well, I used to. And if I had no other choices, that would be a reasonable thing. But what I basically do now is not, as I hardly ever use a cell phone. You know, it's a great way to save your cell phone battery. Typically, after 24 hours after my last recharging, I still have about 91-92% of my battery left, because it's in airplane mode almost the whole day. Uh-huh. Without Bluetooth or Wi-Fi enabled or location services.
Okay, so what about when you take a phone call? What are you using?
Most of the time I'm at home, so I use a voice over internet protocol phone, which you can use a Google Hangouts has one for free. So I use that. Or if I absolutely have to, I'll use my cell phone on speaker and lay it down somewhere as far away as I can be and still hear the person.
Okay, so you've been digging into this stuff for a long time. Because I remember the last time we were hanging out, you had like a meter that you were walking around with, measuring mm-hmm. things, and you had a lot of really interesting ideas, which kind of influenced and inspired me to want to get you on for this episode. But talk to me a little bit about why it is that you got so interested in EMFs. Like, did something happen to you, or is this just something that's become a personal passion of yours?
Well, I became catalyzed through it, but through one of my mentors, my early mentors, who over 20 years, Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, who's been a real strong advocate of this. So, and he treats a lot of seriously ill patients from all over the world, and refuses to treat.
Was he like a medical physician, or?
Oh, he's an MD PhD. Yeah, he's based in Seattle and London, and he's really one of the veterans in the field. And I've been learning from him for the last 20 years, and has some pretty outrageous ideas. But he believes in it so much that he's in the trenches still seeing patients, and refuses to see them unless they are going to address their EMS, because he knows by experience they will not get better.
He won't actually even treat a patient unless they're going to address EMFs in their environment,
because he knows that it won't work. It's too much. So that was part of it. And I had listened to a lecture by him early this year, and he just really hit me between the eyes, not intentionally, but I just finally saw the light, like I did when I read Travis Christofferson's book, Tripping Over the Truth.
Yeah, that's the one we talked about in the last episode, about how cancer is a metabolic disease.
Right. And then, so I understood mitochondrial function at a far deeper level, and I started to realize how EMF causes massive mitochondrial dysfunction, which is really one of the key components of that. But since our last call, and I think I intrigued you, I've learned of a test that virtually none of your listeners likely know of, but it probably is the best simple assay to determine not only your mitochondrial function, but if you're going to die from cancer in the near future, or how healthy you are. It's an easy test to do. Yeah, you don't have to stick no blood test required.
Well, don't leave us hanging. What is it?
It is called the phase angle. And the phase angle is a measurement that's done through a bioimpedance analyzer technology called BIA for short, which has been around for 20, 25 years.
Oh, yeah. That's what you'd use normally to like measure body fat, right?
Body composition. That's correct. And determine lean body mass. So it does this by applying a small current through your body of less than a milliamp and at about 50 kilohertz, and it measures the resistance to that current called the reactance. And reactance measures the integrity, the structural integrity of your cell membranes and the capacity to retain a charge that is generated from the mitochondria. So it'll test if you have leaky membranes, and that's called reactance. And then the phase angle is the ratio between the reactance and the resistance, and you take the arc tangent of that and get a phase angle. Now, you don't have to math. The software takes care of all of that, but it gives you a simple number called phase angle, which ranges from, they use it in decimal points, 3.5, but I'd like to round it off to 35 to 100, 100 being a super athlete. Under 35, you are probably dead. If your number is under 40, you're close to death. And if you're over 60, you're probably not going to get cancer if that number doesn't change.
How do you actually measure this? Is this like something you could buy off Amazon?
No, you have to buy – you can buy a lot of things on Amazon. I don't think you can buy these meters. Now, there are a number of companies that do this test. The leader in the industry is RJL, three letters. And they have units that are about this, they only weigh about a pound or so. They're highly portable. They're too big to put into your pocket, but they have four leads that come out of them. And it only takes about 5 minutes to do. You have to lay down. You have to take off your shoe and sock, and you put two leads on your one hand and two leads on the other, and you just hit the start button, and it gives you this. And actually, types of instruments, one measures the phase and it'll go directly to the other, actually just measures resistance and reactance, and you have to put it in the software to get the calculation.
So it's called an RJL phase meter.
Well, actually, bioimpedance meter.
Bioimpedance meter. And for those values that you just talked about, are there tables somewhere that one could look at to see whether they're in the good versus the bad zone?
No, that's basically, I gave you most of the parameters, and actually clinical variables that contribute to it would be inflammation and your muscle mass. So if you don't have a lot of muscle mass, you're going to have a lower phase angle. Or if you have a lot of inflammation, you'll have a lower phase angle. So those are the two contributing factors. But the belief I learned about the phase angle from someone I think you would admire and respect, Dr. Zach Bush. I was at his clinic. In April, and I had my measure, and I was disappointed. And then I came back 6 months later, just a few weeks ago, and it improved pretty dramatically from some of the things that I was doing. So
he has a lot of machines at his house, because he told me he also has the one that'll do acoustic sound wave therapy for your crotch.
Yeah. Yeah, those are about the only two major ones. He's got some solid state therapy, but he's not as much as a biohacker. And that's why I love your community, because they really get it. Uh-huh. You know, your group and Dave Asprey's gets the biohacking. And that's why you both of you have to know about this phase angle. It is just massively important.
So once again, if people get this and measure, the number you'd want to shoot for is what?
Well, the higher the better. Okay. Anything over 60 is considered good. 70 is great. 80, you're like a superstar.
Okay. You got to measure me, man. We're going to be hanging out in January.
Yeah. I can't wait to measure you. I just want to see what your value is. I suspect you might be in the 90s.
How quickly does it change though? Like, for example, like, you know, I'll be flying, I'm climbing Mount Kilimanjaro right before you and I see each other. I'll be on an airplane, you know, I'll have all this exposure to solar radiation, to EMF. Like how much does it fluctuate?
Hey, make sure you take some molecular hydrogen with that too when you're traveling. We'll have to get you hooked up before you go, because they don't want you to get damaged. But it changes actually relatively slowly. It's really hard to move the dial on that. It doesn't change acutely at all. It's not like your blood sugar or your ketone levels. I mean, this changes slowly over weeks and months.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. So
but you'll be fine. I mean, it might go down a little bit, but probably, I mean, especially if you're at high levels, I suspect you are.
Let's say somebody's listening in. And they measure that and it's low, or they just know, right? They've been spending years on their cell phone, their Wi-Fi, and their Bluetooth, and they're kind of now just realizing that EMFs probably aren't that great of a deal. What are some of the more powerful interventions that can help to reverse the damage?
Well, that goes into some of the other things I want to talk about. And really. One of the aspects of writing the book that I didn't fully appreciate until after it was published, the book Fat for Fuel, which is a good book, one of the best health books published this year, but by no means one of the best health books ever.
if you don't say so yourself.
Yeah, but no, because I interview a lot of the authors, and I know what's, you know, and I know how to rank them. So, I mean, I don't read as many books as you. I'm working. You are massive inspiration.
I finally got defeated last night, though. By a book. Tim Ferriss sent me his Tribe of Mentors, and it's like 700 pages long. So I took it out because that was going to be my book for the day. I made it to page 380 something, and then I fell asleep. Occasionally a book winds up that I just can't do in one fell swoop. But your book did well. You it was like a top seller by a huge margin, I believe.
Well, yeah, it was the number one book sold in the entire country for a week or two. So I've never had that before. But anyway, one of the things I learned after, in answer to your previous question, is how do you improve this, is the most powerful metabolic intervention I know of, and didn't fully appreciate it until earlier this year, and that is multiple day water fast.
A multiple day water fast, meaning that you're fasting on nothing but water.
But water and maybe some mineral supplements and some salt. It's important to have a good source of sodium so that you don't get intractable muscle cramps at night. But the two primary reasons that it's such a powerful tool that can radically improve your health is that it helps remove something called senescent cells. And senescent cells is sort of a derivative of the word senile. These are old and aged cells that are damaged so much that they don't reproduce and multiply. And this could be due to the fact that they're just senile and old, or they could have excessive oxidative stress from things like exposure to EMFs. So normally your body's able to get rid of this through a process called autophagy, self-eating, but that process is impaired in many, many people. And the simple way to radically accelerate it and remove these cells, which are clogging up your system, impairing your health, and really increasing inflammation quite dramatically, is through a multiple day water fast.
Interesting.
And the other thing it does is it radically upregulates your body's ability to get stem cells. And you know, stem cell transplants are becoming more and more popular in the biohacking community, but they're expensive, tens of thousands of dollars typically. And you can do it for less than free. And why do I say that? Because fasting will produce similar benefits as a stem cell transplant, and it's less than free, because you don't pay for food, You don't have to waste time eating. You don't have to prepare the food or clean up the food. So you're saving money.
Jesus and Gandhi weren't doing stem cell injections last time I checked. They seem to do okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned minerals, and I interviewed Dr. Jason Fung, who wrote The Complete Guide to Fasting. We talked about all sorts of things, you know, everything from like a modified bone broth fast to the minerals that you mentioned. What about there are two things a lot of people are using during these longer fasts. I'm curious if you can still get the drop off in senescent cells with these strategies. What about the use of either amino acids or ketones when you're fasting? Would those reverse a lot of the beneficial effects?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. Those are two excellent questions. But before I address that, let me just Jason's book, The Complete Guide to Fasting, is probably the single best resource anyone can have on this. And the only addition I would add is that if you're going to do a 5-day water fast, and you could say, well, I can't do a 5-day, I can do a 1-day or 2-day, you know, well, you're not going to get the benefits, the massive benefits we discussed until about day 3. So the day 4 and 5 is when you reap the benefits. But there's so much fear around this. Now, that's the biggest thing. People are afraid they're going to go into starvation mode or they're going to be hungry. But if you're doing a 20-hour daily intermittent fast and you do that for a month, and I've done 5-day fast for a number of times now. I'm going to start my third one right after Thanksgiving. And my experience is that I do 20-hour daily intermittent fast, only eating in a 4-hour window typically, sometimes 5 hours. But there's no hunger on day 2, which is when most people get hunger. So the hunger is just absent. So addressing your question about supplemental amino acids and ketones, I know you're a big fan of using essential amino acids, and I suspect it's because you want to preserve your lean body mass. But if you discuss,
I want to stay swole, baby.
I know, but if you discuss this with Jason, I think that might be counterproductive, and he has far more experience in this. He's really the expert in this area. But from my reading and like studying researchers like Walter Longo and Sancha Panda, if you give yourself these amino acids, you're going to activate mTOR somewhat. And it really isn't a need for it, because what you're trying to do is upregulate autophagy, and you want to clear out these damaged senescent cells.
Yeah.
And there's no need to do that. You really, really preserve and conserve your lean muscle mass when you are fasting. You're not going to lose hardly anything. And you'll actually get more swole when you refeed, because as Walter Longo says, the magic of fasting is in the refeed. And he's got this fasting mimicking diet, which I'm not a big fan of at all. Actually, interview him next week on it. But he is expert in the value of fasting and for longevity. He's done a lot of good science.
Now, in my defense, one thing I do not use is branch chain amino acids, because leucine leucine's that's a pretty potent activator of mTOR signaling. That's the one I'm pretty careful with. I would agree that you probably are losing out on a little bit of the downregulation of mTOR signaling if you're using amino acids. For me, it's basically like what an athlete would do in fasting, right? To maintain a little bit of a decrease in muscle catabolism.
And my guess is that there's a great chance you're right because it just depends on what your specific circumstances are. And you, as a competitive athlete and wanting to be really careful of not losing any muscle mass, it may be the optimum strategy. I just don't know. But if your strategy is for health, I think it isn't.
Yeah.
Even just taking essential amino acids, I think you'd
what
better.
What about ketones?
Ketones, unless you're going to compete, I don't think it's necessary, because actually the first time I did this, my ketone to glucose ratio, the index that Dr. Seyfried talks about, went up to down to 0.5. So my ketones were 8 and my blood sugar was 40. So that was pretty good.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Which is actually like 2 millimoles.
Okay.
Or actually 0.5
mils. Okay. Now, so we've got a 5-day water fast as one thing that would be particularly helpful, or even, you know, for people for whom that seems overwhelming. I mean, even just fasting in general, an intermittent fast, or, you know, for me personally, what's doable for me is a weekly 24-hour fast. And in many cases, because I travel so much, I just choose the day. Like my wife and I are flying to New York. We'll have Thanksgiving dinner at about 3 p.m., for example. And this podcast will likely come out after Thanksgiving. But, you know, at 4 p.m. after Thanksgiving meal on Thursday, I'll just fast until we get to New York at like 6 or 7 p.m. the next day. Right. And so for me, that's easy because it's not great. An airplane. Anyways. I'm not lifting weights or like sprinting on a treadmill. So it's not that difficult. So ultimately, yeah, for those of you listening in, I mean, start somewhere. But that's really fascinating. I hadn't thought about the effects of damage reversal by doing something as simple as just a basic fast. Yeah.
And it's less than free.
Now, what else? What are some other remediation strategies for EMF exposure?
Well, EMF is one of the primary sources of oxidative damage. And I really appreciate you having Anthony DiClemente on your previous podcast.
Did you listen to that show?
Oh, I absolutely did. He's another Italian from Chicago. Bright guy. And really did a good job of giving an overview. There's just one minor issue that I'd like to review with that was the oxidative stress. Or, you know, he accurately described that Martin Paul did the pioneering research in this, and you can look up his last name Pall and type in EMF on YouTube, and you'll find a lot of good lectures that really did go into great detail about the mechanism of how it works. But briefly, you can summarize. Anthony was a little bit mixed up on one thing, but essentially these EMF signals go in and hit these voltage-gated calcium channels that are embedded in all the cell membranes, and the highest density is in your brain and in the nervous tissue in your heart, your pacemaker. So if anyone has an arrhythmia, they've got to look at this issue. The answer is not to take an antiarrhythmic. The answer is to address the EMFs, the causal reason most of the time. So these receptors are literally, and Paul has done he's also a biophysicist. Has a degree in that, I think, from Stanford or Caltech. And he came up with the mechanism and showed through his calculations that these voltage-gated calcium channels are 7 million times more sensitive to EMF than the charged particles inside and outside the cells. Why is that important? Because the safety standards are based on these charged particles and that vibrate when they're exposed to these microwaves, and cell phone signal is a microwave signal, and they assess thermal damage from that. Well, they're basing it on the physics that is off by a factor of 7 million. 7 million. So the safety standards are only off by 7 million. And here's the other thing. What happens when these voltage-gated calcium channels are activated? Well, it allows calcium to go into the cell, and then it's not the excess calcium that causes damage. Those are triggers, because calcium, intracellular calcium, is a very important biological signaling molecule. When that is released in high doses, it causes excess nitric oxide, which combines with peroxynitrate, and then that forms hydroxyl free radicals, which is like one of the most damaging free radicals.
That would be an excess of calcium would cause that.
Yes.
But I don't want to totally derail your line of thought here, so I'll let you get back to that. But the trick is not to prevent the influx of calcium into cells, because I know you talked about arrhythmia, right? The influx of calcium into myocardial cells, for example. That prevents the contraction of the heart muscle fibers.
You have to regulate.
You know, if you prevent that.
The way that Paul discovered this is he basically compiled 24 studies on animals and in vitro studies that use calcium channel blockers and examine the effects of EMF on those tissue cultures of the animals, and they radically diminish the side effects. So calcium channel blockers mitigate the damage of EMF.
Interesting. Just a basic calcium channel blocker that would normally be prescribed for, say, for example, like high blood pressure or an arrhythmia.
Let's talk about some remediation strategies, and then I want to jump into why we need to be concerned about this. So what is a natural calcium channel blocker? Because you don't want to take a drug if you can avoid it.
A natural calcium channel blocker?
Yeah, you know it.
Is it?
It's a mineral. It's a mineral.
I was going to say strophanthus, which is the one I was speaking with.
That's a drug with Dr. Cowan. No, this is
okay.
Which just has its uses, but no, this is natural, normal. Everyone needs it. And most people are deficient. I would say 85% of your listeners are deficient in this magnesium. Mineral. That's magnesium. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Yep. The natural calcium channel blocker. So I like to recommend that you take as much as you can, basically just short of disaster pants, and then you're there.
Basically what you're doing is you're decreasing intracellular calcium and mitigating the secondary oxidative stress that would occur from that.
Well, you're a little more accurately, you're diminishing the ability of the voltage-gated calcium channels to respond to those signals. So as a secondary result of that, you'll have less calcium coming in, but ultimately that's correct. You decrease intracellular calcium.
Okay. Is there any form of magnesium that you particularly like for that effect in general, like citrate or glycinate or threonate, or does it matter?
I like malate. It tastes really good, and plus it's a Krebs citric acid cycle, TCAI cycle intermediate. So I like that, but I use a bunch. I use magnesium threonate, and about three others that I use. And
yeah.
I figured this out. I use Epsom salts. I make a super saturated solution. I heat up about 8 ounces of water, and I put in like 8 tablespoons of magnesium or Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate. And then I apply it topically. And then I put a little aloe vera on top of that. So that's a good – because you won't get any loose stools as a result of it when you get a transdermal. I like that better than magnesium.
Magnesium citrate.
That's a citrate. It's the one that's used topically. Magnesium oil. It's a magnesium – I'll come up with it.
All right.
Get with the name of it.
Okay. So magnesium is, in addition to water fasting, a couple of things that you could do. What else?
Well, let's backtrack a little bit ask you a question. And first of all, I want to applaud you for your pioneering efforts. You were actually ahead of the curve on this one, mitigating against the EMF. And, you know, you really have been one of the leaders out there in helping people understand this issue for a long time. So thank you for that. But the reason why it's such an issue, go back 100 years, 1917, end of World War One. There was a certain native level of EMF at microwave frequency range, say 1 to 5 gigahertz. So take that level from 100 years ago and compare it to the level today, 2017. How much has that level increased? And I have spoken to thousands of people, and no one has ever even come close to understanding the correct answer. So let me give you that as a warning.
Okay. So basically, how much has EMF increased since 1917 in what in what units? Like just as a percentage?
As a percentage, like 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times.
Gosh, I mean, thinking about like cell phone towers and microwave radiation and Wi-Fi, and maybe the Google balloons that are going up there. I'm going to say 1,000 times greater than what we had in 1917.
You are very close. Would you be shocked if it was 1 billion times?
A billion's not close to 1,000. Is it really 1 billion times?
No, it's not. It's 1 billion. It's one up. 10 with 18 zeros after it.
How do you know?
I can show you the studies. They've measured it.
Oh my gosh.
10 Seriously. With 18 zeros. So, one of the strategies that we both highly recommend is to replicate our ancestral practices. And clearly, our ancestors from as little as 100 years ago were never exposed to these frequencies. So, you know, when we know from Paul's work that it has biological effects through the increasing intracellular calcium. So why would we want to be exposed to that level of radiation? So that's why I believe and I've become passionate about teaching people about this and helping them learn how to mitigate against it.
That's crazy. Okay. So 1 billion, billion times greater, which is actually, that's really scary, not just for us, but for the freaking, like the cows,
the
bees.
18. Yes, absolutely. It's the insects, it's also the plants, and it's also the bugs in your gut, which you know are radically important for improving your health.
Right, what do you mean the bugs in the gut?
How do you think they communicate? They communicate through similar mechanisms. It's absolutely impairing your gut or microbiome.
You mean they communicate in similar mechanisms as do like bees and cows?
Yes, they have similar mechanisms.
Okay, please do explain.
I was surprised too. I just learned about this recently, but it makes perfect sense. You know, how are these bacteria going to communicate? And it's not just bacteria, it's your whole microbiome, your viruses, your fungi in there. And it's all designed to operate efficiently. And the way they communicate is through these similar EMF signals. This EMF, it's been around since life began. I mean, nature uses it for purposes in biology. And one of the ways is intracellular communication. So you impair that when you're exposing them to these frequencies.
That's interesting. You know, one of the things that I'm kind of looking into right now, because I'm doing all these stories on men's sexual health, you know, and sperm and semen quality and testosterone levels and all these things. And it's kind of interesting that it turns out that more of these more native PEMF devices, like pulsed electromagnetic field devices, those seem to actually reverse some of the damage that EMF can do in those
Absolutely.
Particular cells, like the Leydig cells and the testes.
Yeah, there's no question they can be useful. EMF is not intrinsically bad. It just depends the type, but most of the ones we're exposed to are dangerous.
Does that fall into the category of a mitigation strategy that you would use for exposure to EMF, like sleeping with one of these pulsed electromagnetic field devices or having one in your house?
No, I'm not a big fan. You know, I've tried that Delta Sleep and it didn't work for me, but there are some beneficial uses of question about it. I think that there's better strategies because you essentially want to lower it. So the only way you're going to lower it is to know, and this is what is to know what you're being exposed to. And this is why EMF is so dangerous, because you can't see it, you feel or hear it. There's a small minority of the population, maybe as high as 5 or 10%, who are electromagnetically hypersensitive and can have symptoms. Most of us don't. Now, the interesting thing is, just because you don't have symptoms does you aren't being damaged. We're both being damaged just as badly. Only we can't feel it. So what made it real for me is having meters where I can measure it. Now, Anthony had mentioned a meter that he uses, Coronet, and a number of new people into this use that. And it's okay, but it's relatively – it's under $200.
Anthony DiClemente, the guy,
yes.
He recommended measuring with the Coronet.
I would not recommend the Coronet. I bought most all the meters out there, and there are better ones to measure than that.
What about this tri-field meter? A lot of people use that.
No. Tri-field is a good screen for magnetic fields. See, there's three types of fields. There's radio frequency fields, which is the Wi-Fi signals. There's magnetic, which is the tri-field does a decent job of doing, and then there's electrical fields. And the experts, and you can put a link in your show notes on this too, if you're seriously concerned about this, and now's the time to do it, because after I write my book next year or the 2019, these people, there's only 300 in the country, and you will not be able to book them for like years. But they're building biologists, and I'll give you the link for them, and you can find one, hire them, and they've got tens of thousands of dollars of equipment to come to your home with, and they'll help you remediate, because it really depends. There's a lot of different variables. And an hour on your show, half hour, which was talked about fasting, is not enough to go into the details to help people understand this fully.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong, it's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard, because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full-spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements, because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, You can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at, maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever, but I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know, but all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy, and it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around, and you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off.
I've got somebody actually coming to my house. I have a building biologist coming to my house next month because even though I live in a relatively protected area, I do have, for example, solar panels, right? There's some evidence that like the inverter and solar panels can produce a lot of EMF.
No, there's not some evidence. They actually produced what's called dirty electricity at these voltage spikes because and this tragedy of it is it doesn't have to be that way because almost all the inverters do that. It's the solar inverters that's doing it. It's nothing to do with the DC electric panels that you have. It's the conversion from DC to AC that does it. So I can get you – I'm actually in the project because I have three inverters myself. I've got about 15 kilowatts of panels. And it definitely causes dirty electricity, which you can remediate with filters, but it still is best to remediate the source. So the best way to do that is put this high-frequency capacitive filter inside the inverter. And I've got the instructions from Dave Stetzer, who's a really profoundly good electrical engineer. And he actually wrote a paper in one of the – wrote in one of the electrical journals on how to remediate this. So that's the way to do it. And my guess is your building biologist won't know how to do that.
You should send that information to me. I know we have some listeners who have solar panels as well, so we could put it in the show notes for people.
Absolutely, yeah. They can, and you just have to find a really good electrician who understands this and can put it into your solar panel inverter. Each inverter needs one of these signals. And it's probably only about $100 in parts, maybe a little bit more for labor to install it. But okay. While you're at your electrical panel, the building biologist, and I've interviewed a number of them, two pieces of information that's really important to share. One is that almost everyone they evaluate these homes, this is all they do full time, they consistently say 95% of the people believe that EMF in their home is coming from the outside in. It's their damn neighbor's Wi-Fi, it's a cell phone tower. Oh, woe is me. There's nothing I can do. It's my neighbors, I have no control. Well, it turns out 95% of it is coming from inside their house. 95%.
Coming from inside the house. You mean
inside the house?
What would it be coming from primarily?
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll tell you what the most important one. This is a surprise. I think you're doing it though. I don't know. But what do you think the most important exposure is?
Your Wi-Fi router.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's the electricity. At least this is what the building biologists say. Tell me. It's the electricity that's on inside your bedroom when you're sleeping. Why? Because sleep is probably the most important biological function you can do. It's probably is equally, if not more important than eating and exercise. sleep, you have to optimize sleep. And the best way to optimize sleep is to not expose your body to electrical fields. Wi-Fi would be, like from your Wi-Fi router, would definitely be an issue. But the electric fields that get generated from the wires inside your house can really cause impairment of your body's ability to go into deep sleep, which you, of course, can measure with the Oura Ring, and also impair your body's ability to produce melatonin. It's well documented.
Very interesting. Well, I mean, when we built our house, I don't know if you saw that book that I wrote about this, but I literally had this thing like wired with metal shielded cables. Every single room has a kill switch. So as soon as you go to bed, you can kill everything.
Perfect.
In the bedroom.
You are so ahead of the curve, Ben. There's no question about it.
It's a dead home. It's also really inconvenient because we don't have like the Amazon Echo or the Alexa. And
that's fine.
No,
you can
no
live
Bluetooth
without it.
We don't have the Amazon button to remind us to order milk. None of that.
Here's the thing, too. Now, we know that if you see something being advertised as low, no sugar or diet, that's a code name, right, for artificial sweeteners. Well, do you know what smart is a code word for?
Smart? I don't know.
On a device. It's a code word for wireless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Smart TV.
Yeah.
Here's one that I didn't know about that I found as I was mitigating my own house. And you probably have it. I know you don't watch TV hardly at all.
Yeah, I'll occasionally get like exercise DVDs people send me to review and stuff like that. So we have a TV. It's on like once every couple of weeks.
Well, it's not an issue for you. For most people, it is. Most people watch TV far more than that. There's no way you would read that many books if you're watching TV. But the issue is that almost all new TVs are smart TVs. What does that mean? That means that unlike your computer, your notebook, or your desktop, which you can put in airplane mode, you cannot put your smart TV into airplane mode. So every time you turn it on, you're rating yourself with Wi-Fi. It's the nature of the game.
What do you do when you travel? Because, you know, like, let's say, 2 days ago, my boys and I were coming back from San Francisco and we're walking through the airport. And there's like, you know, there's TVs at every gate. They're all smart TVs. And there's obviously EMF all over the place. Like, what kind of strategies do you use when you're traveling, when you don't have control over your personal environment?
Great.
Less control.
Great question. In some ways, you're a little bit better from an electric and magnetic perspective because the building code for commercial buildings requires that all the electrical wires be put in metal conduit just for safety reasons and fires and things. Consequence of that, and virtually no one understands the biological implications of that, but it essentially neutralizes the electric fields coming out of those wires. So unlike Chicago or New York, where the trade unions conspire to force that code on residences, commercial, which increases the cost of residential installations, but has the beneficial consequence of lowering the electric fields while they sleep at night. Here's the problem, though. So if you live in Chicago, New York, or you're in a hotel room like you're frequently, all you have to do to essentially eliminate, and I've tested this in about a half a dozen different hotels now, all you have to do to eliminate the electric fields and measured it with very sensitive equipment is to pull out the plugs or pull out anything that's plugged into the wall, because the moment you plug something in, that field comes into the room. Mm-hmm. So if the only electric wires are in the conduit, then you're probably okay.
Okay.
At least it's almost every hotel.
So in hotel rooms, you just basically unplug just about anything. Are you wearing any kind of like? I mean, I know you do crazy stuff. Like, are you wearing any kind of like shields or clothing?
Yes. We've recently actually, my building biologist did me to a German manufacturer who makes this silver shielding, 100% silver fabric, and you can ground this fabric, so it knocks out everything. And I basically created a sleeping bag that I travel with. So I completely enclose it. It's completely enclosed.
You created a sleeping bag that you travel with?
Yeah. Yeah. And it only weighs like, I don't know, a few ounces. It's pretty light.
How's it work?
Yeah, I just wrap myself in it. And inside that, I have a grounding pad that I sleep on, and the grounding pads grounds me. So the material touches me. And then actually, if there were any electric fields, that neutralizes them because they cannot go through a grounded Faraday cage. Electric fields.
So you're basically sleeping in a Faraday cage.
Yes. I sleep in a Faraday cage at home, but it's hard to do that while you travel, but that's where we made the sleeping bag. So this.
Oh, you actually have this bag. You can buy it on your website.
No. We're developing it and hope to launch it next year. We had our team just came back from China to find the best manufacturers in the world to do this, because the German stuff is just so pricey. So we want to get it down to under $200.
So you just sent your people to China and told them, hey, find me a radiation blocking sleeping bag?
No, it's a lot more complex than that. They have
okay.
like trade shows there for people, for the companies that make yarns and fabricators, and you know, I mean, they're big trade shows there. That's what they do. So we sent our staff there, and we really want to offer solutions for people. But later this year, we'll have something. Because
wow,
I mean, and you need one. I'll get you a beta prototype when we come out with one. But you
now, when I said I was flying, you also talked about molecular hydrogen.
Yes. So
just to interrupt you real quick, at the time that this podcast comes out, I think I will have released an interview that I did with this guy named Tyler LeBaron about this hydrogen rich water. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Tyler is the expert. I've known Tyler for a few years, and I think I'm the one who recommended him to you. I love that man. I'm interviewing him in a few weeks myself when I go back to Chicago. But he's such a nice guy. He's an athletic stud too. I don't know if you guys talked about that in your interview, but
yeah, we did. But for people who don't know about molecular hydrogen or hydrogen rich water, how exactly would that work to assist with the mitigation from EMF damage?
You know, I meant to shoot Tyler an email, because I don't think the mega hydrate that Anthony discussed is the same. I don't know that that's molecular hydrogen. It might be, and I might just be confused, but I don't believe it is. So molecular hydrogen works because it's a selective antioxidant. That's the key term here. It doesn't indiscriminately suppress all free radicals, because some free radicals are beneficial. As you well know, you need free radicals if you want to get the benefits from exercise. And if you suppress them indiscriminately, you're going to blunt that beneficial response. So molecular hydrogen is the one to take when you're exercising to make sure you don't get excessive damage or blunt the beneficial free radicals. And it's believed to work. I mean, I don't think anyone knows for sure. Tyler is the best guy to answer the question, but I think the thinking has shifted, and it doesn't directly neutralize the hydroxyl free radicals, but it does it through a pathway called the NRF2 pathway, mm-hmm. which essentially allows your body to hormetically control it and have some feedback influence so that it's generating the right amount of levels, and you're not causing any damage. So I think it's a really potent stimulator than NRF2, which is, and you could look up the NRF2 pathway. Just type that in and type Martin Pauls. He wrote a brilliant paper on it. It's like 15, 20 pages that goes into the mechanisms and really goes into a lot of other strategies.
The idea being that reactive oxygen species are produced after especially a high intensity bout of exercise, and those serve as messengers, you know, speaking of cellular communication, to regulate adaptation to exercise. And they lead to a cascade of events like satellite cell proliferation and muscle adaptation, all these things that help you to get more fit. And the idea is that excessive intake of antioxidants appears to blunt that response. So yeah, that hydrogen-rich water helps to quell inflammation without blunting that same response. Apparently, as you just alluded to, also helps to control the inflammation that might be generated from EMF. And you know what I was reading about last night? You'd be interested in this. I was just reading the National Journal of the Strength Conditioning Association last night. Very interesting article in there that goes into the research that I just mentioned on reduction of oxidative stress and how you don't want to do that. But then they looked at acute consumption of what are called polyphenol containing supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they were looking at things like tart cherry juice, at pomegranate juice, at quercetin, and at the epigallocatechin gallate that you get from like green tea and green tea extracts. And they found that those specific polyphenol antioxidants do not blunt the ergogenic effect of exercise, in this case, heavy and intense strength training. So it turns out that some antioxidants, and this is the first time I've ever seen research like this that shows that there are some things that you could take right after workout, such as green tea, and it wouldn't blunt that same oxidative stress. Isn't that interesting?
That's good to know. I think the ECGG improves the NRF2 pathway. I'm pretty sure that's one of the ones that does, and the polyphenols, of course. So yeah, it's good to know.
Anyways, though, total rabbit hole. But you brought up magnesium. You brought up the hydrogen rich water, as well as shielding yourself.
Before we leave magnesium, hydrogen-rich water, you know, people will want to be taking it, of course. And unfortunately, at the time of this interview, there's not really good products out there. They don't exist. And I don't know if Tyler reviewed the importance of cycling it, as you want to do with the nutrients you just mentioned, the supplements, the antioxidants. You know, even though they may not blunt the response from exercise, I don't think it's a good idea to take those things every day. Everything I know suggests that's not a good strategy. Take 2 days a week off. You pick the day.
Same thing with the hydrogen-rich water?
No, hydrogen-rich water is a little bit different. I think you could take that. I might be wrong here. I don't think you need to cycle it. I would have to discuss. That's a good point, but I don't think you need to. I take it pretty much every day. But there's a whole wide variety of them out there, and it's not a cheap supplement. All of the ones that are currently available are not grass at all. We're actually in the process of dealing with this. This guy's a savant.
They're not generally recognized as safe.
They're not. No. So we'll have the first tablet out next year, but it's going to take another 3 months to do the grass studies to get it certified. So, but the key thing is there will be some. There's just came out like in the last week or two the high concentration hydrogen water. You want like 9 parts per million or milligrams per liter. Would be a because most of the ones out there are like 2 or 3. There's a few that are 5, and the key thing is you want to pulse it. Did Tyler go into the pulsing?
No.
Okay, so you don't want to drink it continuously because there's these alkaline water systems. They probably had done nothing to do with the benefits have nothing to do with the pH of the water, but they have everything to do with their ability to make molecular hydrogen gas. But they have those generators, even if they put out high amounts, and there's a few that do that claim 3 or 4, maybe even 5, but most of them are closer to 1 or even below. And even if you had 5, if you're drinking it all day long, you don't get the benefits. You want to pulse it because if you take it continuously, you don't get the same reaction. So I cycle mine 2 or 3 times a day. I take it before I go out in the sun. I do my hour, 2 hour walk in the sun. And I take it before exercise, or I take it like almost every hour if I'm traveling in a very high EMF environment, which is, you know, almost always the case. You can't until we're going to make underwear out of this too, this shielding to protect our heart and our gonads. And you mentioned the infertility. You know, infertility in men has gone down by 50%, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But EMF is probably a primary variable for that.
That's kind of cool. You're going to do underwear. One of my buddies tried to do that a while ago. I don't know if he's still in business. It was called Raparo, Raparo clothing. I think he pivoted. He got in like the blockchain or Bitcoin or something like that. But for a while, he was I have a pair somewhere around here. He had like boxers that chilled against EMF.
Here's interesting. In China, the standard of care is pregnant women are wearing these shields around their bellies to protect their infants.
Wow.
That is, you get them everywhere. That's just common knowledge. That's what you do in China.
Yeah. Well, in America, the moms are playing Candy Crush with their phone on top of their belly. So,
yeah. And even worse, their kids, their teenagers, their 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds are sleeping with their phone on under their pillow at night.
Yeah. My kids have an iTouch, and I, you know, as I do with my own children, I never tell them not to do anything. I mean, unless they're about to step out in front of a semi truck. But the iTouch, all I tell them, you know, they are well aware, more aware than most adults, of the damaging effects of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on cellular function and the concept that the body is a human battery, etc. And so they simply know when they have their iTouch on that they put it in airplane mode. I was actually, speaking of us on the airplane, my son was sitting next to me on the airplane 2 days ago coming back from San Francisco, and all of a sudden he goes, and I said, what's wrong? And he's looking at the iPhone, and it's kind of like sitting there on the seat in between his legs, and he points at it, and the Wi-Fi was on. He's like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that. Do you think I'm going to be okay? And I was like, yeah, you'll
yeah, that is so good. Like, I mean, that is,
you'll be all right. Let's go ahead and switch it off.
It's so rare to find a parent doing that.
Yeah, yeah. But again, yeah, like I don't tell them, oh, you know, shut that off right now. Instead, I just basically inform them, and they'll occasionally turn it on. I think he had it on because he was trying to see if the airplane could feed like entertainment or something into the iTouch. But anyways, yeah, it's crazy. Now go ahead.
And there's some suggestion that intermittent exposure you know, if your relative exposure overall is really low, like yours and your family appears to be, may actually be hormetically beneficial.
Right. It's like a lot of these areas on the planet Earth that are like geomagnetic fields that generate, say, like 1,000 hertz. For, you know, a lot of people think all the Earth does is it emits this natural magnetic frequency of 7.83 hertz, you know, the Schumann resonance. But in fact, you find everything from 3 hertz up to several 1,000 hertz generated by the Earth's natural geomagnetic fields. And so it makes sense that exposure to slightly higher amounts. I interviewed a guy named Dr. William Pollock about this. We had a discussion about EMS and geomagnetic fields. And I'm not sure if that one will have come out at the time that folks are listening into this. But either way, you know, it's not like you're not supposed to get exposed occasionally to slightly higher hertz frequencies than you might experience, you know, when you're sleeping or when you're, say, you know, using like a grounding or an earthing device. But the idea is just like sunlight, right? It's that constant exposure, like cold thermogenesis. I have one client who I coach, and he's probably listening. He knows who he is. He keeps on sending me these emails. He's like, can I do 3 of the cold baths each day? You know, he's in these ice baths for, and I'm like, no, you get to a certain point where you're stressing yourself out too much,
right?
Or you have, you know, too much hormesis. If that's even something you can do. So anyways, yeah, I'm completely on board with you that I talk on my phone. I get exposed to some of these frequencies sometimes, but the important thing is to use some of the remediation strategies that you're talking about. Now, have you filled me in on everything that you would do for remediation? Because you talked about magnesium and the hydrogen and the shielding.
Well, we talked about the meters, and I think it's a really important, probably the most important thing that people can do is get a meter that they can measure this. And for, you know, the professional meters that the building biologists use are cost a few thousand dollars each. But you can get one, and I bought about a dozen of the different ones out there. This is experienced, and I actually own the professional ones too, so I can compare them to them. And the best... There's two meters that I would recommend, actually both made by the same manufacturer. The first one is from a really hard to find website. It's called Amazon. And the name of the meter is called Acoustimeter 2, and it measures radio frequencies. And I think you saw me use it when we were at Dan Pompas. That was an Acoustimeter 2. It has an audible signal that is actually able to reflect because it's an analog signal, it will tell you what type of signal that is coming in. Is it a Wi-Fi signal? Is it a cell phone? You know, but the more exposed you are, the louder it gets, and the higher up it goes to this flashing red, you know. So that one, you can go in your house, and it'll help you find other hidden sources. The other meter is called the PF5, and that's it's called Safe Living Technologies, but they use the initials SLT.co, not .com. And you can just look it up there. This website also has the remote cutoff switch that you can use that you have installed in your house. It may be a different brand, but this is from Gigahertz Solutions, which is a really high-quality German manufacturer. And you just have to install it, but then you can put the remote cutoff if you're committed to turning off your electricity at night, which I think you should be. But then if you did that, then you can get the PFI, which measures the electric fields and the magnetic fields, and it does it very accurately. It's not a digital one. It's not an analog like the tri-field. But it will tell you the right numbers. This is spot on. Trifield can be off in a number of circumstances, but if you have one, it's good to screen for magnetic. I mean, I found it to be fairly reliable. I just wouldn't peg it for being accurate as the $2,000 meters
or gigahertz. Or you just basically get connected with like a good building biologist who could come over
building biologist
equipment.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a directory of good building biologists that you're familiar with?
Yes. There's a link. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
So that you can have.
Great.
Now, so like those are the meters that are key. And speaking of links, I can also send you a link because I think we can get your listeners a discount on if they are interested, because you have a health professionals who would definitely like to get that phase angle. I think the norm, they have two versions, one that measures the phase angle directly, the other that requires software. One's like 2,600, the other's like 2,000, but I think you can get them a 10-15% discount.
That'd be interesting if there's some kind of an algorithm that could correlate the data that you get from one of these normal bioelectrical impedance devices that you just hold onto at a gym, or like the Withing scale that measures bioelectrical impedance, and somehow give you phase angle based on that. I don't know if any kind of algorithm.
Yeah,
exists,
they're really specific about measuring a standardized position. So you have to be laying down for a few minutes, and you know, so everything's standardized and calibrated, because if you're standing up, the measurement's going to be a little bit different. Your body water concentration is going to shift a little bit.
Yeah.
But nothing's more powerful to measure total over body health as I understand it right now.
Fascinating. It's incredible. Fascinating. Is there anything else that you wanted to delve into when it comes to EMF that you've learned lately or that you think people should know about?
Yeah, let me tell you some of the other hidden sources. We talked about the smart TV, which is what people know about. But most people, when they're using a keyboard or a mouse or a trackball, they're wireless. That's going to definitely be an issue. Now, you may have this issue like I did. You're hooked up to the internet, right, through your Ethernet cord.
Yeah.
But did you check your computer to make sure that it was in airplane mode, your desktop computer?
You mean that the Wi-Fi's off?
Yeah. Because it's still
of course, yeah.
Oh yeah, so you got to do that.
Yeah,
you got to.
Yeah, you can't just plug it in. Otherwise, it's still constantly searching for a Wi-Fi signal. It's the same thing with the new iOS on the newer iPhones. For example, you can't just swipe up and disable Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. That does not disable them. You still have to go to settings and manually disable the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth. Otherwise, it stays on, even if you use that shortcut to disable it. So these devices are tricky. They're smart.
Yeah.
And I even have one in my house that annoys me. There is no way to disable the Wi-Fi on a treadmill. I have my treadmill in my garage, you cannot. There is no option to a treadmill. Will always, not only is a treadmill a big source of electrical pollution anyways, which is why the one that I use in my office is a manual treadmill. It's called a TrueForm, not a mechanical treadmill, for the same reason that my stand-up desk is a manual hand crank stand-up desk, not a push-button stand-up desk, because I just try to keep as little electricity in my office as possible. But the one out in the garage is just freaking, anytime I'm out there, it's just got a big old Wi-Fi signal.
Let me tell you, there's no way to disable it. Yesterday I got my delivery and instructions from Peter with the Vasper, which you've been exposed to. I think you even interviewed him. But he was at my house yesterday. He's actually at Tony Robbins' house today installing one. But when I measured the EMF on it, was shocked to find with this really good gigahertz meter that it had 200 volts per meter on the chair, and even when it wasn't plugged in, and it's still a mystery to me why it's so high. But I got this silver fabric, right, that I talked about earlier. We put it over there and grounded it, and it went down to like 4 volts or even below 4 volts. I mean, it was crazy.
But you put it underneath,
right? And you could do the same thing. All you do, you take one of these meters, you find where the source is, and then you can remediate it with the silver cloth.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So there are solutions. There really are solutions. So we don't have to not avail ourselves to the value of the technology. We can still benefit from them and not be exposed to the dangerous EMFs.
Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway for people from this episode, is that the goal is not to become a Luddite necessarily, even though I do know some people who are healthy and successful, who still have landlines and don't use the internet that much. And they are also people, however, who, unlike, say, like you, Dr. McCullough, or me, don't make their living on the internet or make their living by, you know, traveling frequently. So we're kind of fighting an uphill battle. But ultimately, you know, my wife's a perfect example, right? She spends all day long out in the garden and outside. She flips on her computer maybe once every couple of days. If you try to call her or message her on her phone, you're rarely going to get through, because she just never pays attention to it. And she, as a result, you know, she goes to sleep at night and she doesn't use any sleep devices. She just closes her eyes and falls asleep. And she's super healthy. I've tested her blood and it's flawless. And, you know, and I'm sure a big, big part of that is because of that lifestyle.
Love the seer phase angle.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's probably a lot better than mine. And like I mentioned, for those of you listening in, I've also been taking notes as we talk, and I'm putting links to everything that we talked about when it comes to these meters and
just Dr. two more items.
Everything. Let's go over. Let me give people the URL real quick and then keep going. It's bengreenfieldfitness.com/EMF special. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Two other things that many people may be using, not be aware of the danger, and I'm sure you're not one of them, are an electric shaver, even if it's a battery, it's still, or your electric toothbrush. Both of those things, you know, you want to have your magnetic fields below 1 milligauss, ideally even 0.1. But these things put up like thousands of milligauss, thousands. But it's not that much of a problem, though, because you're only putting it next to your brain.
Okay. Got it. So the electric toothbrush and the electric razor. Yeah, they're both like in your mouth and up by your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you would definitely want to go manual on those, you know?
Okay. Got it. Got it. And what was the other thing?
Both of those.
Or those are the two main things. Okay, so yeah. The shaver and the toothbrush. All right. Well, fortunately, I'm pretty old school on both of those.
Yeah, I know. I said you got it covered. Cool. You're really one of the rare health guys out there who understood this. You're an early adopter, and you really figured it out. And I know your audience appreciates it too. So that's why
I figured it out a while ago. You can't bench press your way out of an unhealthy lifestyle.
No.
As much as I thought that when I was in my foolish youth. No matter how good you look in spandex.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure talking, and I really look forward to connecting with you at CalJam. So measuring your phase angle.
That's going to be good. I can't wait to hang out and measure phase angles together.
Just be careful. Don't get injured up in Mount Kilimanjaro, man. We want you back healthy.
That's right. That's right. I'm doing all this stuff, and it sucked to get my leg trapped under a boulder and die in a mountain.
Yeah.
Well, at least I would do so without the EMF cancer that everyone just learned about. So again, folks, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/EMF special to access the show notes, my previous two episodes with Dr. Mercola, everything that we talked about today, and to leave your comments, your questions, your feedback, any other tips that you might personally have discovered. Leave it all there, bengreenfieldfitness.com/EMF special. Thanks for listening in, and until next time, I'm Ben Greenfield and Dr. Joseph Mercola signing out from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. Have an amazing week.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.